My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And here's that pace that Cliff Kingsbury has employed throughout his career. Daniels finding Robinson, steps through a tackle. Robinson with another cutback, weaving to the five, diving towards the goal line. Touchdown, Washington!
Cliff Kingsbury's plan is going to be on my list of things I didn't like. Let's get through this real quickly so we give you guys a chance to weigh in. All right. After the defense, which was the number one reason for getting blown out in the opener yesterday, coverage issues all day long, confusion all day long, communication poor all day long. There you go. The three C's. Coverage, confusion, communication. It was not well done, and it's going to perhaps take some time with all of those new players. Disappointing, though, to see them really sort of bewildered at times offensively and a step or two behind what Tampa was doing offensively. The kicker clearly on the list of things that did not go well yesterday. Two missed field goals, a kick out of bounds. He also made two PATs, but one of them barely got through the right upright. He's got a huge leg. You heard Quinn, we came back in the last segment, talk about his talent, but he's clearly too erratic to keep on the roster for another week if you have to give up a seventh round pick if he's on the roster through week two. I would imagine we will see a ton of kickers in the building tomorrow, that day off, and you get a lot of players coming in. And certainly I would not be surprised to see a new kicker on Sunday. It could be one of those years. We've been through them before where it's just a kicker carousel all year long. That was not their plan. You know, their plan was not to wing it on kicker. They went out and spent money on Brandon McManus to be their kicker. On the list of things I didn't like, you know, for a defensive group that has prided itself on takeaways, they didn't really have a chance for any yesterday. Zero takeaways. There wasn't a turnover in the game. Penalties on the list. Some of them pre-snap, some of them, you know, 12 men on the field. Again, a lot, some of it really due to just confusion. Of course, you know, Emmanuel Forbes hit the jackpot with a double penalty on one play. The final numbers are 7 for 51. It felt worse than that, actually. And then I'm going to, you know, be a little bit critical of the offensive game plan in general. You know, one of my keys on Friday was protect the quarterback. You know, part of protecting the quarterback was a lot of quick game, more of an emphasis on running the football. I think they struggled to run it when they tried early, and maybe that got them off of their plan. But overall, I didn't love what they did. This is the mystery part of this year, and I think Kingsbury has a big responsibility. And if the defense is going to struggle like it did yesterday, I mean, he's going to have to really be a dynamic offensive designer and play caller and game planner each week for the opponent. But, you know, basically they called, you know, we don't know for sure how if there was some RPO involved in this, but basically there were like 34 to 35 called pass plays, and about 14 to 18 run plays, depending on, you know, which were designed runs versus option runs versus potential RPOs. But it was heavily weighted on throwing the football over running the football. Look, I'm in favor of doing whatever works. Whatever works against the opponent you're facing, that's what you should do. You know, your goal is to move the football, control the football, and score at the end of controlling the football. Lots of pistol, lots of shotgun. You knew he was going to be involved, the quarterback was, in the run game. He was involved a lot. I thought Jaden, by the way, made really good decisions for the most part on all of the zone read stuff. They didn't benefit nearly as much in game one anyway against a really, you know, an outstanding opponent. You know, when you talk about Tampa defensively with a guy like Vita Vea that you got to face in the middle of that line. They lost two corner. They lost coverage people during the game. So they were banged up during that game. But I didn't love the plan for protection. It certainly seemed to me, and I can't wait to see some of the, you know, advanced numbers when they come out later on today. It certainly seemed to me like he faced extra man pressure a ton yesterday. Now, the get out of it, plan was get out of it, Jaden, go make a play for us. And he did almost every single time with his legs. And that may be part of the plan. But you'd like to see the plan account for the extra pass rusher and have the ability from the pocket to hurt the blitz via the forward pass. You know, that's what you'd prefer to see. He did, you know, he had a couple of them. He had one to Ertz, one to Eckler versus the blitz. But I didn't think, you know, I don't know if the plan of Jaden escaping it and making plays with his legs to avoid extra man pressure, and there was a lot of it. Again, I have no idea how much of it there was. It's one of those things I can go back if the numbers aren't out later today. But I made a note here that it seemed like close to half of the pass plays, there was at least one extra pass rusher. Maybe not half, but a lot of them. And I don't know that they had a plan. They may have, and maybe Jaden didn't execute it. I think you're going to have to, in this up and down typical rookie quarterback year, you're going to have more quick game. And they did have some, you know, throws to the backs. Eckler and Robinson Jr. led them in receptions yesterday. How much of that was check down? How much of that was swing pass? How much of that was check down as an early progression? I don't know. It seemed like a couple of them were certainly early in the progression, and I thought Jaden did a pretty good job of getting to it. But yeah, there's... You want to see if you knew Bowles was going to come after him. You want to see them be able to burn that. Now, do they have good enough receivers to burn it? Maybe not. You know, maybe they, and look, they've got some guys in their secondary. Antoine Winfield Jr. is one of the best. All right. They've got dudes. But I didn't come away from the game thinking that Kingsbury's offensive guru-ness that he's been labeled with really showed in game one. You know, they weren't three and out. They moved the ball, you know, but they moved the ball basically because of the quarterback's legs as much as anything else, or the quarterback extending, or the quarterback hitting Robinson Jr. Eckler and, you know, making plays. You know, in the game, you had Terry with two catches on four targets, McCaffrey with three catches on three targets, Zacchaeus and Crowder each had a catch. That was it for the receivers. That was it. McCaffrey, by the way, snap count-wise, was much more. He was out there for more than any other receiver, I think, other than Terry McLaurin. So not, you know, not blown away with what they did offensively. And I thought, you know, 34 to 35 to basically, you know, 14 to 17, 18 called runs. You know, again, I'm not a got to run the football, got to be balanced. I'm not that way at all. I want you to do whatever it takes to move the football based on the opponent you're playing. But it wasn't, it was a bit disjointed. The quarterback made things look good. Clock management, end of the first half. I mean, God, I hope. I went into yesterday, hoping that for the first time, you know, they get this guy Dave Gardy that they brought from the league office down, and I was just hoping that this would be the first year that I wouldn't have to sit here on every Monday and say, what are you doing? Like, you can't give up an opportunity for a possession by leaving a timeout and taking a timeout with you to the locker room. And they had an opportunity to call timeout after their first play under the two-minute warning, but definitely before the third and three, with a minute 12 to go, they let that clock run down. They did not call that timeout. After the field goal that made it 16-7, they kicked off. Washington had 11 seconds. They took a knee. They should have had 50-plus seconds, you know, 48, 49, 50 seconds. That's, to me, that's clock management 101. Look, you're getting the ball to start the second half. You're in the game. You're down two scores, but you're in the game. Maybe they didn't feel comfortable based on things that they saw on the three drives. That's all they had in the first half. You know, the first one that went backwards on the first throw, then two productive drives that ended in touchdown and a missed field goal from 47 yards out. Yesterday, by the way, was the greatest number of 50-plus yard field goals in a game, in a weekend, or on a Sunday in NFL history. Our guy missed from 47. He also missed from 56. But you have to use the timeout on defense. Maybe they'll explain it and say, you know, we just didn't feel good about some of the things that we had in our 2 minute this early in the season. You know, we're still a work in progress here. And we didn't want to go three and out and have them have a chance to get the ball back again. I don't know. You'd move the ball on two straight drives. You had a 10-play drive. You had an 8-play drive. You had scored on your last possession a touchdown. It's 16-7. You're going to get the ball. You had a chance to, you know, do the double dip, where maybe you get a field goal attempt. I mean, maybe the guy isn't going to make it anyway, but you got to try. I did not like that at all. Head scratcher for me. They might have a legitimate explanation. Down 23-7, when you scored at the end of the third quarter, you could certainly think about going for two in that spot. I actually would love, maybe Quinn will answer a question about that today, because I don't know if he was asked about it in the presser. We didn't get a transcript of the press conference. I think 6 1/2 dozen the other. Personally, I don't think you think about it until the fourth quarter, because there are too many possessions left in the game. Now, in this particular game, down 23-7, you're not able to get off the field, so you're probably limited in the number of possessions you're going to get in the fourth quarter. So it may be just one or two possessions in the fourth quarter. So if he had gone for two, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Not going for two, I didn't have a massive problem with it. There was about 2 minutes to go, I think, left in the third quarter. And in most cases, you really should not think about it, especially when there are potentially multiple drives and multiple scoring opportunities and multiple scoring types still left in the game. So I didn't have a problem with that. I had a major problem with the end of the first half. I just think you use that timeout and you give Jaden in the offense a chance with 50 seconds roughly left. No timeouts, but you've already, you know, expressed the talent and the big leg the kicker has. And from 56, by the way, he had plenty of distance. Let's try to get in range and then take the ball to start the third quarter as well. I mean, I think Jaden, from a dropback standpoint, could have run the ball down the field to field goal range. But that would be, you know, I just hope we're not in this position every week. Yeah, that kind of sums up everything. I think I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't have had Jaden in the game at the end. You got to protect the player from the player. He's a competitor. He wants to be in there. You're not going to, if you're going to call zone reads and he's going to read it out properly, he's going to keep the ball. He took a couple of hits. You're getting your ass kicked at the end of his first game. What's the last touchdown really going to do for you? I think, you know, you're in a long game here, and I would have pulled them. You know, I want them to compete until the end. I want that to be the MO. I just would have had Jeff Driscoll out there competing until the very end. A couple of other quick observations. I thought some of the formations were interesting. They had a couple of formations where Jaden's in shotgun, and you got Eckler and Robinson almost stacked on top of each other next to Jaden. It was an odd formation, and they ran an inside handoff to Robinson on that play. I thought that the kickoff strategies in the game yesterday, and a lot of what I saw all weekend long, were more times than not trying to kick it through the end zone for a touchback. There were three kickoff returns in the game yesterday. The average kickoff return, 24 yards on Eckler's two returns. And Tucker had a kickoff return of like 22 yards. I think teams are still wrestling with this. I think some of the better teams defensively are just saying, go ahead, start at the 30. I think some of the other teams that would love to see like the ball hit, bounce around, have a chance to nail them deep, have a chance maybe for a penalty that'll set them back field position-wise. I don't know. That's going to be something to watch. You know, first weekend of NFL football with one game left, I don't love it. I think it looks weird. It produced one kickoff return for a touchdown, but we see kickoff returns for touchdowns a lot in the early portion of a season in particular, and the reason being is that coverage units in preseason are usually not the coverage units that you see when the regular season begins. You use your 53-man roster, not a 90-man roster for your coverage roster, for your coverage units. Yeah, I've got other things that I'll get to, I'm sure, throughout the show, but it's your turn now. 301-230. Oh, one other thing. Did Dan Quinn start the game without a hat on and then go to the backwards hat in the second half, Denton?
I thought his hat was forward in the first half and then went back.
Was it forward and then he switched it to backwards?
It like Ash Ketchum.
My son said something to me. He said he went to the backwards hat, and I'm like, what do you mean? He said he wasn't wearing a hat in the first half. I'm like, oh.
Rally cap.
Whatever. Rally cap. Exactly. Didn't work. One game, no referendum on anything, no far-reaching conclusions. There are two things that certainly appear, more than anything else, to be medium to longer-term issues as far as this year is concerned. But again, I'm not going to come to a definitive conclusion after 1 week. All right, your calls, I promise you, nothing but you guys for the rest of this hour. 301-230-0980. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Any other observations from the 37-20 blowout loss to the Buccaneers to kick off 2024? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. I want to tell you that Window Nation right now has amazing September savings. If you've been thinking about new windows, now is the perfect time. All I ask you to do, if you've been thinking about new windows, is just give Window Nation a chance to come out to your home and give you an estimate. It's free. There's no obligation. They're not going to pressure you. You can shop the deal. If you end up moving forward with Window Nation, that would be great. But really, what I want you to do is call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com and just give them a chance to give you a free quote. They have a 96% customer satisfaction rating. That means when you choose them, you're getting top-notch quality and outstanding service every step of the way. Replace your old, drafty, inefficient windows and enjoy up to 40% savings on your energy bills. Window Nation offers an unbeatable lifetime warranty. That's their promise that your new windows are built to last for years to come. Right now, take advantage of this exclusive offer. Buy two, get two free when you mention my name, with no money down, no payments, and no interest for 24 months. Don't wait. Call Window Nation today. Schedule that free estimate. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coach, speaking of the pressure on the quarterback, is it more frustrating to not finish those pressures, or is it more encouraging to have the pressures there in the first place to try to get the guys?
You have to ask me that one tomorrow. Tonight, more frustrating not to finish for sure, because that's the outcome. You know, that's the difference between a punt and a first down. And so there's a lesson there for sure to say that, you know, you're on the right track. But our game and our team is going to be about finishing end of games and halves. And so for us not to nail that in plays, that won't cost us.
Dan Quinn yesterday. I still loved the quote. We played it at the beginning of the show, which I think is, a reflection of some of his self-awareness and a reflection of a little bit of a reality check yesterday when he said, quote, "You need to struggle to see the identity develop. You don't want it, but you need it. That happened tonight," closed quote. All right, your turn. What I was going to say is everything for me really is 99% about what happened yesterday. It's not a referendum on anything. I will just say these three things. They got to fix the kicker situation ASAP. Number two, they've got certainly, we thought this coming into the season, they got an issue with coverage, especially at corner. It was Forbes. It was Sanra still in his first game. It's his first game. It's St. Juice. It's everybody. And that's tied to pass rush, too. You got to finish some of those times that you get close to getting a quarterback. You also, right now, again, another thing we talked about all offseason and preseason, everybody did, who's the other guy after Terry? Who's that going to be? That's why, during some of these conversations about Brandon Ayuk, I was like, really? You don't want Brandon Ayuk on your team? Like, who do you think you have on your team? But there are a lot of reasonable reasons not to have wanted Brandon Ayuk on the team. But we got to find some guys that can get open for a rookie quarterback. Those would be the things, that are a little bit more beyond just this one entity, this one standalone blowout loss. We'll see how these things get handled moving forward. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It is your turn. What'd you like? What didn't you like? And anything else? Let's start with Brandon. Brandon from Fort Washington. Brandon, you're up first. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
You pretty much touched on everything that I was going to say. I liked Jaden. I was pretty impressed with how he was able to extend plays and, make throws and create plays off schedule. I am concerned that the sliding thing is a little concerning to me because he looks like he almost falls forward. So that was concerning. I did like the running game. I think that B-Rob and Eckler had some pretty strong runs, so they were pretty impressive to me. I don't understand for the life of me why Terry doesn't get more than 3 targets, 4 targets a game. It seems like we've been talking about this for years at this point. So what I didn't like defensively, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, I don't know how many times, I've heard, I'm listening to you regularly, and we talk about the defense, the communication, the lack of a pass rush. I mean, it's just, it just hasn't changed. I'm not going to mash the panic button just yet because it's one game, but I didn't really, the defensive effort is just inexcusable. I mean, for not being able to get Baker Mayfield to the ground was just, was just gut-wrenching. The 3rd-and-10-plus runs and throws were just, disappointing. I'm hoping that, this week, the Giants come to town, but then again, for some reason, Daniel Jones seems to get right when he plays us. So I'm not going to panic just yet. But I definitely was not inspired at all by the defense, even though there were some good things that I did see yesterday. Thanks for taking my call,
Brandon. Appreciate it. I'd like to see a little bit, and it's early. I mean, this is going to be a process here, and we got to be patient on some of the things offensively. But man, I think Jaden off play action with some run game. I'm talking about under center stuff and some bootleg. I just think he'd be devastating with that. But, you know, he's primarily in shotgun or pistol. Oh, I wanted to mention one play. Stay tuned. I'm going to mention a play that was pretty wild that I did not mention in my breakdown, but was a very interesting usage of a specific player. Let's go to Ross. Ross in Tampa, go.
Hey, what's going on, Cap?
Hey, Ross, what's happening, man?
Not much. Hey, I'm feeling encouraged. You know, they won't, the front office, the coaches, they won't openly say this, and they shouldn't. But this season's all about the quarterback. What do you have in the quarterback? How you looking? How you feeling? And next season's offseason is going to be the critical offseason. But, you know, what I saw in the game last night in real time, man, I think Luke McCaffrey, I think he might mess around and step in and be that second backup. The second receiver, excuse me. Zaccheaus, he was dropping a lot of catchable passes out there. And I'm definitely definitely looking into the kicker situation. You know, I don't think they'll keep him just based off the terms of the trade. And, you know, I was also thinking to myself, I didn't know they lost so much time. I was actually there, and I was getting back to my seat when they were kicking the ball off before halftime. I thought with one timeout left, man, just take a shot down the field and then see what you got in terms of trying for a long field goal. But, yeah, never go into halftime with more like multiple timeouts. No, they had one timeout, but just don't take any timeouts into the locker room with you. So, Kevin, that's how I feel about that, man. But, you know, I want to go ahead and throw something else out there. I want to say thank you for the Syracuse line, man. That came home for me. I went 9-for-10 on my parlay, but the one that did not come home was Maryland. And I think that might have a little bit to do with my boy MJ Moore still not starting. Kevin, you have a all good one, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, smell test 8-7 this weekend. The one that I love, though, I mean, I, like I say all the time, you play every single one for the exact same amount, but Texas got throttled. they had no chance. Michigan got throttled. They destroyed. Had no chance against Texas. But still, you know, a one game over 500 weekend. Look, the end of the first half, you made your decision when you didn't use your timeout on defense that you were going to go, you were going to take a knee when you got the ball back. So that was made for them. That was made by them on defense. I just would never, I don't know why you don't try to get an extra possession there, especially when you have a quarterback that can take off and get 22 yards and get out of bounds easily twice on a drive, which is all you need, and you're in field goal range. Again, the kicker isn't very good, and they may have other reasons why they didn't want to do it, but I would have wanted to eke out another, you know, opportunity to score at the end of the first half down 9. You would have had roughly 47, 48 seconds left, no timeouts. That's plenty of time to try to get in field goal range. Let's go to Kurt. Kurt in Hagerstown. Kurt, thanks. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin. Hey, go ahead and get that panic button over there from Denton and smash that for me, okay?
I'm not going to do
that. Let me tell you, because that outside corner situation, just like I said, every third and long situation, they're going to get more than 50%, so it's going to be a long year. So I don't even want to talk about the outside corner and third down and long, because we can't control that. We also can't control the field goal kicker. Those are going to be problems. No need to talk about it. This is what I want to talk about, Kevin. Let's talk about how can you run an offense today without pre-snap motion.
Yeah.
And when you're going to run
a lot of
tempo.
It. Good point. That was I had that in my notes. Yep, I'm curious too.
Yeah, you got to especially with a rookie quarterback, so he can, that's the first read on the defense. What are they in?
So.
You go to the line of scrimmage. You got a pass play called. You got two run plays as an audible and possibly a third audible as a pass, and you do that pre-snap motion, and you make the call, and it should be run, you know, more 2-1, Ron Rivera on the run, because we got a rookie quarterback and we got a young offensive line, and we got to get ahead of the chains. We got to be in 2nd and 7. We got to be in 3rd and 4 and 3rd and 5. We cannot have a first down where we are playing behind the sticks. It's a loss. You might as well punt the ball. It's
Yeah, well, you don't have to punt it when you have him on third down, and he can pick up 15 on a scramble to move the chains. So don't
come. They know what's going to happen. We're going to run a bubble screen on the third and long, like it's a draw play. Like everybody knows, it's the safe out. And if you're going to do that, then you got to run the same amount of go routes. And then we're going back to Pop Warner football or maybe college football, where we just run a bunch of goes, and let's see if Jaden Daniel doesn't see anything, and then he finds a place to run. But I think that's something we can fix. Kingsbury needs to put that in ASAP. Let's not kiss John Allen's butt, man. He missed two sacks. He was too high. He overran the play. And the defense didn't do what they needed to do. So that's my call, Kevin. Not too many.
So let me tell you this. Kurt, you're always a sharp caller. I wanted to tell you the thing that I forgot to mention, and I thought it was interesting. On one of those behind the chains situations, they were 3rd and 18 on their opening drive of the third quarter in Tampa territory. And you just want to manage that situation to try to get back to, you know, to try to get back to field goal range. I mean, for this guy, whatever, you still have to try to get three. You know, the play they ran was that backwards pass to Luke McCaffrey, and I think, and I'll get the all 22 later, I think he's looking to throw it back to Jaden, and then Jaden's going to take off. I don't think he's going to throw it again. I think it's a backward McCaffrey, a throw back to Daniels, and that was their gimmick play to try to pick up 3rd and 18. Now, McCaffrey, clearly it was covered, and he kept the ball, and he ran into field goal range, which was smart. Even though it was, you know, he missed the field goal. But I thought that was interesting. McCaffrey, of course, was a quarterback at Nebraska before ending up at Rice. Anyway, I'm sure you picked up on that. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Tough day for the Sheehan household. Maryland, Kurt Cousins not doing well, and then this game. Things I liked. Jaden Daniels
This never works out well for you, typically, because you pounce on those single days, and then like a couple of weeks later, you just go silent. It happens every year. You are the ultimate front runner, Ian. That's one thing. Your one consistency is you are a front runner with a very short memory. But go ahead. About yesterday's game, from your standpoint, go ahead, please.
For the positives, I agree. Jaden Daniels' running ability is one of the best in the NFL already. He is so quick, so gifted there. The negatives, obviously the kicker, the secondary, the defense, all of that has been stated. But going back to Jaden Daniels, his running style, 16 rushes, diving headfirst, getting his helmet knocked off multiple times, this is not sustainable. It is just not sustainable. And there were times when that offense looked like Jaden Daniels or else. No plan, no rhythm, maybe one or two reads, and then he's like, I'll just scamper around. And eventually, he's going to get hit, and he's going to get hit hard, and he's going to be out. I don't care if he has Cam Newton's frame, which obviously he doesn't. 16 rushes, the number of hits he took, the style that he slides, it's just not going to work. And the previous caller mentioned the lack of pre-snap motion, the lack of kind of innovation on offense. I mean, all of it offensively was bad. And then, like you said, you don't even have a legit NFL receiving core. Like, the offense is just – it's just Jaden Daniels and whatever he feels like doing. And, again, it's only week one. We'll see what week two looks like. But this offense, I thought it would be a little bit more crisp, especially given the hype around everything they've done and their special sauce and their play hard, work hard, all their ATDQ. And that – your boy DQ on that clock management, the minute he didn't call that timeout, I was like, let me check Kevin's Twitter. I knew you'd pick up on that. That is just, that's Ron Rivera-esque. That's Mike Shanahan-esque. Just bad clock management, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that, you know, they hired this guy Gardy from the league office to come down and help them with this. I hope this is not a consistent theme. I hope that we can get away from Sheehan having to talk about, you know, losing possessions because they didn't handle the clock well at the end of halves and the end of games. I'd like to finally, it's just we've never had anybody here that's been good at that. A lot of cities go through that. Thank you, Ian. Let's go to Bones. Bones, what's up, man? Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
My main man, Kevin Sheehan.
What's up,
Shout
Bones?
Out to my man. Shout out to Denton Day. Hey, Kev, you know what, man? I just want us to look at this like this, man. That was preseason game number 4, and possibly this week we're going to have preseason game number 5. And after these first two games, man, I expect that this team going to be on point, man, and be on precision, man. Everybody going to be dialed in and tuned in to each other, man, and we're going to start seeing some real football. You know what I'm saying? And, and another thing, you know, Jaden, you look good, man, but you're going to have to tighten that chin strap up. You know what I'm saying? Because I played football. I had no helmet there flying on. No, you got to tighten that chin strap up, man. You know what I mean? And thank y'all, man, for taking my call. I love you guys. Hey, Dave, didn't Dave, man, you got to give me some good bets this weekend, man, in that college, man. I messed up on a couple of plays, but I'm gonna be looking out for you. Y'all take care. Peace.
All right. Good job, Bones. Washington, by the way, Sunday, a 2.5-point favorite over the Giants. The Giants were pretty dreadful in their opener, too. All right, stay on hold. 301-230-0980. You want to weigh in? What'd you like? What didn't you like? Any other observations from the game? Aveen, Keith, Roy, Nick, everybody on hold, stay there. We got an open line if you want to weigh in. It is a day after the season opener. Took us a while to get here. We finally have a result, and it was not pretty, that's for sure. But it was only one. On to the Giants. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Week one in the books. Commanders dropped the opener 37-20 in Tampa Bay. Jaden Daniels scored twice with his legs. He carried the ball 16 times for 88 yards. He was 17-24 for 184 yards. Through the air. Dak Prescott became the highest paid quarterback in NFL history prior to their game against the Cleveland Browns. 4 years, $240 million, a cool $60 million per year for Dak. The Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Tyreek Hill was arrested and detained for a traffic violation prior to the Dolphins home matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He did play at 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown in their win. Announced yesterday before the slate of games, Kendrick Lamar going to be performing at this year's halftime show in New Orleans at the Super Bowl. I can't wait for that one. Major League Baseball, Nats beat the Pirates 7-3 on Sunday. Or Nats fall to the Pirates, 7-3 on Sunday. They're off today. They'll be back tomorrow at home against the Braves. And that's what's trending.
All right, let's get through some calls. Ben's going to join us at 12. We'll go around the league. There were some good games yesterday. There were some head-scratchers. Always, week one is, say this every year, fool's gold, head fake. Ron Rivera was 3-1 in openers. I mean, come on, that's all you need to know. It just is a rough week because more so now than ever before because none of these guys even step on a field where they're actually tackling or being tackled until the opener. So it takes a while to figure out what you have. All right, let's go to Roy. Roy, have at it. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Anything else? Go.
Hey, Kevin. Awesome show as always. I got some quick notes I wrote. I thought Chen was terrible. At safety, I thought he tackled terrible. I think on that deep touchdown, they're in some kind of like cover two or cover six to their rookie, to their rookie receiver, and he's flat footed looking at the quarterback. He doesn't get back and help at all.
That was one of those I wrote down. They look completely confused. They were passing stuff off. It looked like,
Santarell's expecting him to be back. I know that's not how you say his name, but the rookie corner, Santarell, however you say his name, he's expecting someone behind him, and he stops at his spot. Oddly enough, I thought St. Juice was the best corner. He's just covering Megatron, but he's all over the dude. There's nothing else he can do other than hold him. Cooley used to tell you, because we used to talk about two back sets or two tight end sets, and Cooley used to always say you put your best five offensive players on the field, and I don't see how Eckler wouldn't be one of those right now when you can't get anybody getting open. And also, when it's garbage time, how about you put the rookie second-round tight end in and give him three or four targets? If Sanat was a running back and he got, 10, 11 snaps like he did, I think he took 12 snaps, you'd be like, what the hell is going on? This is our second choice, and you didn't get the guy
in the game?
In the game?
He was in the game.
He said 12 snaps. No targets, no catches.
How many more did you want? I mean, because they went with Bates and Ertz a ton. But I thought you were saying, my fault, I thought you were saying you would have put him into the game and they didn't put him into the game. You're just saying you would have had him out there a lot more.
Snaps, Yeah, especially in the second half. Ertz doesn't need work when you're down 23 points. Put him in.
Sure.
Like everybody else said, no jet sweeps with the Ami, or no imagination, no window dressing pre-snaps. And you're on the one-yard line. Don't do a QB power when his helmet's fallen out three times. Give the ball to Brian Robinson. Like, what are you doing in the goal line in junk time, QB powering?
I wouldn't have had him in the game in the final drive, honestly. I mean, I think you're not going to be able to keep this guy right now as a young player from competing, which means he's going to go for it. So you kind of have to protect him from himself in spots like that. If you're down 23 points and the chances of winning the game are now 0%, and you got a guy out there that's already rushed the ball 13, 14 times, on a super, you know, crazy hot, humid day, I'm pulling him. And I'm just saying, we'll live to fight another day. We're good, bro. You played well. Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
Yep. What did you think of the linebackers that we got, Luvo and Wagner? Wagner looked slow at times, and then he got us to 3rd and 17 by himself, and then they let a screen pass go. But I thought they flew around pretty well, both the linebackers.
I actually thought some of the work some of the guys up front did made it easier for them. But there were still some gap integrity issues on run plays, especially in the second half. They didn't seem to have run fits figured out. By the way, White's a better back than he gets credit for, and Bucky Irving, the rookie, is going to be a good back. But I thought that they had major issues in gap integrity. Some of those run blitzes, if they were run blitzes, they may have been just flat-out pressures, but they were first downs. I thought that they clearly got burned on a couple of those plays. I think we're going to love Luvu. I think we're going to love Wagner. I'll tell you the guy that I actually thought had a couple of big-time hits and was really energetic. He wasn't out there a lot. I mean, I don't even know how many snaps he was out there. I'm going to guess 10 snaps tops. Was Walker, 32. Thanks, Roy. Let's go to Nick in Syracuse. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Great pick on the Orange this past weekend. That was a hell of a win, but you've kind of touched on everything I've wanted to touch on. I thought the defensive line actually looked decent. They didn't get a lot of help from the secondary to get to the quarterback, but my God, Emmanuel Forbes, you were telling not to jump to conclusions, but he's awful. I mean, he looked completely lost. I've run out of words to describe it. On that face mask to on that coverage for the double penalty, he was lunging forward, grabbed the face mask, and then dropped back in coverage and still got beat. It was just abysmal. Daniels looked okay. Daniels looked all right. Rush, he ran the ball well. Other callers have touched on it. They did not have an innovative offense. A lot of layered routes and not a lot of pick plays. A lot of ends over top one another, and I didn't see a lot of routes that could separate a guy in the back end or over the middle like Terry. Just a rough day to be a Washington fan. Encouraging stuff from Daniels. Thought the running backs looked well. Secondary is a problem, and I got the x-ray reports from you, Kevin. They were looking for some talent and for some heart in Emmanuel Forbes, and they found none. That's all I got.
Look, I'm not going to – we've watched him now for whatever number of games. I don't think heart and competitiveness is his issue. I think they're just right now is – there's a major confidence problem. There's no doubt about that. Real quickly, too, on Daniels, I want to just make sure I'm clear on one thing. I gave him a B. That's not a perfect score. I thought, as I mentioned, I thought he held it too long in the sack. I thought there was a chance to hit Ertz. I'm not sure they had a great plan for protection. I thought he was pressured pretty quickly. I think there was a lot of extra man pressure. I also thought that he had a couple of throws that were off. It's not something we saw a lot of at LSU, but it's his first game, so we'll see. Let's get our guy Oliver, who's been on hold here for a while. Oliver, go ahead. Thanks for holding. Go.
Hello, how you doing, Kevin?
Good, Oliver.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The secondary just looked just totally out of sorts. Yeah. Linebackers, defensive line, look like you can work with it, but the secondary looked terrible. And I was trying to figure out the receivers. I think this coaching staff was real smart in the sense that they were like, maybe they outsmarted themselves because they kind of got rid of everybody and they brought in new people. But I didn't understand how McCaffrey, we didn't really see him in the preseason, and he went from like third depth chart or whatever to a starter or at least getting a lot of time. I just didn't understand a lot of the personnel moves, and we brought people in that we're supposed to be better, but I just didn't really see it. And I know you say it's the first game of the season, but for us, it's just kind of like a continuation of what we've been seeing the whole time with just the new faces on the
Yeah, look, we've all been in agreement. Corner, concern. Receivers other than Terry, concern. Kicker, concern. O-line, certainly a bit of a concern. I don't know how well they held up. I think there were some pretty quick pressures, and I don't know how much of that was the plan to deal with extra man pressure. Maybe it was Jaden. I don't think so. I think Jaden bailed him out from a lot of that stuff. He did not have a lot of time to throw. But yeah, I'm with you. A lot of that stuff we kind of saw coming, but you never know until they really line up to play a game. But yeah, as far as McCaffrey, and I have the snap counts now, McCaffrey was out there for the most snaps of any wide receiver other than Terry. Terry was out there for 81% of the snaps, McCaffrey 61% of the snaps, and then Diami, three less snaps than that. All right, everybody that I missed, We'll try to come back to it next hour and do more calls. So sorry I missed you this go around. Hopefully we'll get to you next round. We'll certainly be here tomorrow too. Ben Standing is going to join us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.